Hey everyone, today we're going to look at Matthew chapter 20 and Jesus' triumphal entry. And this starts in 20, and I'm going to pick it up in 29. As they went out of Jericho, a great crowd followed him. And behold, there were two blind men sitting by the roadside. And when they heard that Jesus was passing by, they cried out, "Lord, have mercy on us, Son of David." The crowd rebuked them, telling them to be silent, but they cried out all the more, "Lord, have mercy on us, Son of David." In stopping, Jesus called them and said, "What do you want me to do for you?" They said to him, "Lord, let our eyes be opened." And Jesus, in pity, touched their eyes, and immediately they recovered their sight and followed him. Now, when they drew near to Jerusalem and came to Bethphage, to the Mount of Olives, then Jesus sent two disciples, saying to them, "Go into the village in front of you, and immediately you will find a donkey tied and a colt with her. Untie them and bring them to me. If anyone says anything to you, you shall say, 'The Lord needs them,' and he will send them at once." This took place to fulfill what was spoken by the prophet, saying, "Say to the daughter of Zion, 'Behold, your king is coming to you, humble and mounted on a donkey, on a colt, the foal of a beast of burden.'" The disciples went and did as Jesus had directed them. They brought the donkey and the colt and put on them their cloaks, and he sat on them. Most of the crowd spread their cloaks on the road, and others cut branches from the trees and spread them on the road. And the crowds that went before him and that followed him were shouting, "Hosanna to the Son of David! Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord! Hosanna in the highest!" And when he entered Jerusalem, the whole city was stirred up, saying, "Who is this?" And the crowd said, "This is the prophet Jesus from Nazareth of Galilee." And Jesus entered the temple and drove out all who sold and bought in the temple. And he overturned the tables of the money changers and the seats of those who sold pigeons. He said to them, "It is written, 'My house shall be called a house of prayer,' but you make it a den of robbers." And the blind and the lame came to him in the temple, and he healed them. But when the chief priests and the scribes saw the wonderful things that he did, and the children crying out in the temple, "Hosanna to the Son of David," they were indignant, and they said to him, "Do you hear what these are saying?" And Jesus said to them, "Yes, have you never read, 'Out of the mouths of infants and nursing babies, you have prepared praise?'" And leaving them, he went out of the city to Bethany and lodged there. Well, there's so much going on in this passage. This is a turning point in Jesus' ministry. Up until this point, Jesus has largely avoided crowds, largely avoided fanfare. He hasn't intentionally brought about a lot of controversy. But now he is changing. It's a new stage of his ministry, and he is staging a very big confrontation in the temple. He is evoking deliberately all kinds of Old Testament prophecies. There's also a very important royal theme to all of this. There's many biblical allusions to royalty, and Jesus is ascending, and you know kings ascend to their thrones. So as Jesus goes from Jericho to Jerusalem, he's ascending to take up his kingship. So it is just a scripture-packed section. Look for not just literal quotations from the Old Testament, but look for also some allusions. So I'm just going to draw out a handful of them, certainly not all of them. So first of all, he rides on a donkey. In the Bible, donkeys are a royal beast. Horses are for war, but a donkey is for a king in his authority. And more than that, Jesus is evoking a prophecy that goes all the way back to the book of Genesis. Genesis chapter 49, starting around in verse 8, as Jacob was blessing his children, he said that Judah would inherit the royal authority. And he specifically mentions a prophecy of a donkey tied to a vine. And so Jesus here is evoking that in particular. I think there's other things he's touching on in the prophets, but I think this one is important because it picks up this idea that the house of Judah, which is Jesus' lineage, would be a royal house. Notice too that as Jesus proceeds, his path to Jerusalem and to the temple is from the east. He goes down the Mount of Olives, down into the Kidron Valley, and up into Jerusalem. This is the exact reversal of David's journey when David was fleeing from Absalom. He fled the city went down into the Kidron Valley, up the Mount of Olives, weeping. And so Jesus has come back, and he is restoring the throne of David. He is taking back the city of Jerusalem for the throne of David. And so it's a reversal of David's flight. There's also a reference to one of the kings of Israel, Jehu. In Kings, Jehu is a king that's anointed to wage war against the idolatrous house of Ahab. And Jehu will have clothes strewn before him on his path, on his way to destroy an idolatrous temple. So this is a little ominous note that Jesus is a new Jehu coming to destroy the idolatry that has taken place in the temple in Jerusalem. They say, Hosanna, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. And they make the reference to David. There's several scriptures here. There's Isaiah chapter 62 and verse 11. And there's also really Zechariah, but Zechariah 9 in particular. And there, this is evoking the theme of a king returning from war, having conquered enemies. Jesus is coming from conquering evil, conquering diseases and the plagues that bind the people of God. And so it's again evoking this. He's returning from war to bring blessing to his people and to set his people free from bondage. Notice too, and this may be one of the more important things, that it describes Jesus as meek. Remember, Jesus said, blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. And so Jesus' conquest, Jesus' ascension, is a meek ascension, which is totally unlike most authority in the history of the world. And of course, it's speaking of Jesus' submission to the Father, not making a name for himself, but fully obeying the Father and fully giving his life for mankind on the cross. So Jesus is a conqueror, but he's conquering through meekness, and he's conquering with the cross. Notice too that when Jesus gets to Jerusalem, the whole city is stirred up and they say, who is this? This is evoking Psalm 24. In Psalm 24, this is just a section of it. It says, lift up your heads, O gates, and be lifted up, O ancient doors, that the King of glory may come in. Who is this King of glory? The Lord, strong and mighty. The Lord, mighty in battle. Lift up your heads, O gates, and lift them up, O ancient doors, that the King of glory may come in. So Jesus is not just the returning David, but he's also God himself, all right? He comes in God's name. He is the King of glory coming into his city and calling out for the city to open up to him. I said that he reverses the path of David, but he also reverses the path of God himself. In Ezekiel's chapter 8 through 11, God's glory departs from the temple in Jerusalem to the east. And so Jesus is himself bringing the glory of God back in and again reversing the path of God out of the temple. And the king comes to Jerusalem. Jesus comes to Jerusalem. When kings return, they come to inspect their houses and to put things in order. And that's precisely what Jesus does here. He has come to inspect the house and pass judgment and see what he needs to set in order. I love this reference. So he heals the two blind men, and then it says in the temple, the blind and the lame come to him and he heals them. This is very interesting because all the way back in 2 Samuel, when David had been crowned king and he went to take Jerusalem, the inhabitants of Jerusalem taunted him and said, the lame and the blind, or the blind and the lame cannot take this place. And David takes it. Well, Jesus is fulfilling that because he gathers to him the blind and the lame, and he has taken the city that belongs to him. Indeed, he takes the city, as it were, with this crowd of blind and lame people that he has healed and set free. And then there's another David reference. The leadership there in Jerusalem rebuke him. They say, hey, listen, you hear what all these children are doing? You need to put a stop to this. This should remind us of David, when David brought the Ark of the Covenant, the presence of God, the rulership of God, the kingdom of God, into Jerusalem, and he danced before the Ark. When he comes back to his house, his wife Michal rebukes him and says, "You look at what you're doing. This is ridiculous." And David defends himself and says, actually, I'm doing right. I'm worshiping God, and these people are going to respect me for it. I believe Matthew is referring to this too. The leadership in Jerusalem is in the place of Michal, and Michael was cursed. She never had children, and their line is going to be over because they're not receiving the king. And I believe it also touches on this theme where Jesus has repeatedly identified children as it were as disciples, as the right kind of disciples. And he says, these guys are worshiping, and they are worshiping rightly. And if you would humble yourselves and get in line with them, you would be a part of that blessing, but you refuse to do so. So Matthew's also referencing that scene of David and his joyfully bringing in the glory of God into Jerusalem. So the king comes to set things in order. He calls the temple a den of robbers, and he's going to clean house. He's going to root the robbers out of the house. And I think there's finally a reference and an allusion to, again, the temple being seen as, well, as long as we have the temple, nothing bad will happen to us. And I think in all of these, this section of scripture, Jesus is evoking the prophet Jeremiah, who said, well, the Ark of the Covenant was in Shiloh years ago, and that did not keep God from coming and bringing judgment on that house because there was idolatry going on there. And so Jesus is also this new Jeremiah come to bring God's judgment on an idolatrous house. But I want to zero in on this is a triumphal entry. This is Jesus' conquest. This is a joyous occasion. It's an occasion of worship. Of course, we know that the crowds and the disciples are going to fall away. But this is Jesus coming into his kingdom. It is Jesus coming into his kingship and his glory. And it is leading to the Lord Jesus coming and being victorious by his death on the cross and his eventual resurrection. And so ultimately, it should be an occasion for us of great gratitude and worship of the King who's come once and will be coming again to set all things right and make all things new. Bless you.